Okay, this is you demo Hillcrest in this game Mamam. There's gonna be another longer chapter. And again the Rambam here will be going through a lot of the halakhas related to boar. In this case, we're gonna shift over not to animals and people, but rather to items. So for instance, like a kli or something about the tree. So halacha aleph the Rambam says kilon shenafu lebor v'nishtabru. So if let's say your cup, your plate, whatever it is, falls into a cistern, a hole in the ground, and it breaks. So the owner of the cistern is exempt from paying for the damages that cause shenema. So we see it's only, let's say, animals. And so an ox, not a man, a donkey, a darshamach and donkey, utensils. Even if a an ox fell into a cistern while carrying, let's say, cups, the ox dies, and then the, let's say, utensils break. So you're obligated pay damages for the killed animal, but you are not obligated to pay for the utensils. So we know that the cistern, the hole, is considered a categorical type of damage. It told us of no mu'adim, and any of the derivatives are considered to be mu'ad from the outside of the animal's life. Excuse me, from the outside. I'm not talking about animals, I'm talking about cisterns. So, for example, person leaves an obstacle in the path of somebody who walks, that's considered derivative of the boar. So if that obstacle produces damage in a person or an animal, then the person who put it there is obligated in complete payment, regardless if he made the obstacle onerous or not. But if what it, and also as well, if utensils and cups, for instance, get damaged in this manner, then he's exempt from pain. So what's an example? Let's say a person leaves the stone, for example, or his knife, or let's say the straw or the package that he's carrying, the kashrut or what do you call it, or things like that. Like any of these things in the public domain, but who's a behen being other than him, and because of that, there that causes damage to either an animal or a person, he must pay full nezek. So too, let's say he put him in his property, and he made his property ownerless, but not the items. Niskal, or let's say what do you call it? Let's say the case is where the person stumbled on the ground as a result. And he, what do you call it? And that, and the, by stumbling over this thing, it caused him to become injured, not the thing itself, but it caused him to receive an injury. But who's akva? Chai bal takal. Again, the person who put the obstacle there is obligated to pay. And who's ku kalim? The whole elu, or nitonfu pater. But if the person's kalim, if his utensils, or became damaged, right? Or even became like spoiled, again, he'd be pater from paying. Alakadab. Pechnishor lachacha balabais, shirlo bishos. Let's say a person brings his ox into the courtyard of his friend without permission. The animal goes ahead and defecates. And then what it does is that it makes all the, let's say, cups that are in there, since they're filled with feces, now destroyed ultimately. Potter. Why? Because the feces are considered to be derivative of boar. And since it's derivative of boar, as we know, a person is not chayav in any utensils that are damaged due to a hole in the ground. Let's say a person leaves a jug or a cup in a public domain, and someone stumbles over it and gets damaged, and it breaks. Potter. Because basically, a person is not normally looking out of his way when he walks. And who's a kva? And if he, what do you call it, the person passing by gets injured by it, or a balakad chayiv in his hub, then the person who owns the pitcher is obligated in damages, even if made the pitcher owners. Because anyone who takes an obstacle that he put that can cause some damage and who tries to make it hefker, at the outset, chayiv ki lo hefkiran. We say, as we've seen all along, it's as if he didn't make it onerous. Let's say a person left the pitcher in a place where he has permission to leave it. For instance, in the marketplace where the wine vats are sold, and in such a case, it was an obstacle and it caused the what do you call it, the person to stumble over it and break the cod, then you're chayv. right? And if it damaged the person walking by, balakat pater, why may shahayolisanto? Because then you should have looked to see where he was going. Afila, oh, shemila called there kavim. Let's say it's dark, or the entire path is filled with pitchers, then pater al shirasa, he is exempt from paying if the camel get broken. Then miskalba, and if they're an obstacle, hare balakat chai. Then at that point, or if he's injured, at that point, the owner of the pitcher is liable. V'chein kol chayotze b'zeh, and so too all other cases like that. Halacha Zion, nishbara kada b'shus rabim. Let's say the jug that belongs to him breaks in the public domain. V'hukla echad amayim, right? And let's say what it called and let's say by breaking, water spilled out of the kli, and then someone slept on it. Osha, or when the kli broke, someone else received an injury from one of the shards. Pater medine adam vishuhu anus. Please pater from any monetary damage because it was out of his control. The chayav medine shemayim nishul siyakat halasim. But he is chayav obligated divine punishment because he didn't remove the broken pieces. So the broken pieces in the water are like ownerless. Well, hifker el achar shenenas, but he didn't make him, so to speak, ownerless until after it was out of his control. If he got caught, that's why he's caught. Then this kaven l'schus b'charseah. Let's say he intend to actually scoop up the various pieces that broke. The huzak behen achar, and then a person was damaged by them. Then he's chayav because now he wants the pieces. Within what it called, so too it applies l'nafla gamlo v'lo hamida. So too, let's say a person's camel fell. It didn't help pick it back up again. But of course, if in such case, since these are derivatives of boar, utensils were damaged, it doesn't matter if he went ahead and made it ownerless or not, he is off the hook paying damages for the broken clay. Let's say there are two people who make pots, like a clay pots, and they're potters. And they're walking after each other. And let's say the first person trips over the nafal and he falls over. The niskal hashen rishon. Now, because the first person's on the ground, the second person trips over him. Let's say the first guy had enough time to stand up, but decided not to. And he's on the hook for causing the second person to get hurt. So even though it was out of his control when he fell, in anus biyoso mutal b'derech. He's not He's not considered out of his control when he's lying on the ground because he's going to have gotten up. But if he couldn't, and have enough time to get up, pater. Even if he didn't warn the guy who tripped over him, because he's basically concerned with his own problems, being stuck on the ground trying to get back up. The qualification, so when is the guy liable for paying nezek to the second guy? When the guy actually suffers bodily harm. About im husku kela, but of course, again, if let's say his clay pots get damaged, pater sheno chayv al kelim b'bor, because he's not obligated in utensils for like cisterns, b'chol tekal tol b'bor, he kamosh riyanu. And again, like we said, any obstacle that causes damage to kelim from a boar, you're not chayv to pay. Rach yud, hakaderin v'hazagagim v'yotzevahen. So when it comes to potters or guys who make glass and similar, okay, so similar case, let's say you have three potters walking along, one after the other. First guy falls, second guy trips over him, and then the third guy trips over the second guy. And each one of them could have gotten up again too. So the first guy is required to pay damages for the second guy tripped over him. It doesn't matter whether his body was damaged or what he's carrying is damaged. Okay. Now the second guy is required to pay for the damages that happen, bodily harm that happens to the third guy, if he got damaged because of falling over the second guy. But if he got damaged because of the burden of the stuff that the guy was carrying, then he's pot there. Omer lo hasheni, second guy could say as follows: Bor zeh shehu masai. This what do you call it? I didn't make this cistern. That's what I'm carrying. Ain ani hakora osa. The reason he pol sheni maso because it's not really my burden because the first guy fell. What do you call it? First person caused the second guy to fall, and that was called this domino effect. I mean, zero is as equal between. But of course, if one warned the other, if each guy warned the other guy not to fall, then they're all off the hook of pain. Okay, now let's get the first guy fells over, but he's lying not on the way the path is going, but lengthwise along the path. And let's say one person trips over his head, a different guy trips over his legs, a different guy trips over the guy's stomach. He's obligated to pay them all, because In general, when a guy falls lengthwise in the path, he's got enough time to get up and get out of the way. Let's say a person pours water into the public domain, right? Another person's injured by the water. He's chai to pay damages. But if his utensils got destroyed or spoiled because of the what it called the water, then he's part of the Nivlu Hamayim Baaretz. Let's say the water gets soaked into the ground. Vinishara Aretz Chalaka, but the ground remains slippery. Vehuklak, and he slips the nafal and he falls. Vehuzak the karka, and he gets damaged, so to speak, by falling on the ground. And the Reza Chay Beniskav, the guy who left the water there must pay damages. Lachy Gimel Kol Elu She Poskin Vibosan Vigorfin Matrosan. So anyone who opens up, let's say their what do you call it, septic containers, sewage, basically. Or what do you call it? Yeah, that's what they're talking about. Both cases here, these types of sewers and septic tanks, so to speak. So they have no permission to pour this disgusting water into the public domain during the summer. But during those rainy season, they can pour it in the public domain. But nonetheless, if a person did get damaged by this water or an animal got damaged by the water, he has got to pay full damages. Halacha yudah lo yotze adam tibna b'kasha lushes rabim. First, you should never take out his straw or hay into public domain. Kadesh yavushu v'yasu lo zavim. So that people will, or animals will walk in it, and that turns it into fertilizer. Then hotzi knaso oso chachamim. But if he did take it out, then the excuse me bim hotzi. If he did take it out, kamsu oso chachamim. So the sages made a knas a fine she yu kehefker, and it's considered to be like onerous. V'cholakodem mehem zacham eishin yidoshu v'yishbicho. And therefore, if a person went ahead and took possession of it prior to that, and it got better, but if someone went ahead and took possession of it after it was taken out into the public domain, then we don't take it from him. Even though it's considered ownerless, nonetheless, even though it's ownerless, if it damaged a person, animal, the person who took it out, at the end of the day, must pay. Okay, so a person is allowed to take out, let's say, garbage, manure, etc., into the public domain at the time that everyone does so, which is basically garbage day. They need to roast on Shom Shoshim Yom and to make piles of it together on every 30 days. So this way it'll be walked over by people. But nonetheless, even though he's allowed to do that, if it caused some damage, he has to pay. The person is, if a person takes the feces, it's considered to be stealing. Since why? Because its value will not go up by walking over it. So therefore, they did not create a knas for the guy saying this thing is hefker. So a person should not leave mortar to soak in the public area, nor should a person make bricks in the public area. But you can mix mortar in the public area, but you can't mix bricks. Okay, halacha yud zayin. If a person builds a building in the public domain, maybe. If a person wants to bring stones, can bring stones. If a person wants to build a building, but if any one of them causes damages, they are chayev to pay. Halacha yachas. Chatzav shechatzav even muster l'sates, who's up for adam v'hema, hasasas chayev. Let's say a person who is an expert in designing stones, and he's cutting out a stone, and he gives it to a person who digs out stones from the ground, and then gives it over to a person who's a stone cutter, okay? And then and that causes damage. The stone cutter's on the hook. The sasa shemasa l'chamar achem l'chayv. And a person who cuts stones, he gives it to the person who rides the donkeys to deliver it, the UPS donkey. Then that guy's obligated for damages. That went on. If the what do you call it? The person who gives it to the if the donkey guy gives it to the person who's been delivered, the carrier, then he's chayev. That guy's chayev. Masar kasef habona, habona chayev. Now if the carrier gives it to the guy who's building, then the builder's chayev. Masar bona v'zesh misakin shivasa v'minyan hamisakin chayev. If the builder gives it to the person who kind of sets in the building in the right place, that guy's chayev. Markash elua agabe dimus, right? And let's say what do you call it? Let's say after they put all the bricks in place, nafla b'hizika, it fell down and hurt somebody. By osim mekabanos, and they're what do you call it? Working based on a contractor thing. They all share responsibility. Or the sliros, but if it's all about if they were all hired, meaning not working as one unit of contractor, but they're all hired individually. Then the last guy is on the hook, Chayav, the Kumo Paterno, but everyone else involved in this laborious case would be, what do you call it, would be Pater. Halacha Yutess. Hakoso about Yulanch and Uflush Rishonim. So when a wall or a tree falls into a public domain, the Hiziko, and causes damage, Pater Milashalim is off the hook from paying the Afli Shif Kiran, even if he made it onerous. If he Sha'in Doma Labor, this is not considered derivative of a cistern, Sha'in Ain't Chilasim Hazik, because they're not initially set up to cause damage. I mean, Hayu Re'uin, but let's say they were in bad shape. Bazin Kovin Lozman, Lakos Ilam, Vistos Hakoso. So then the Bazin sets up a time where the person must cut down the tree, or must take down the wall. The Kama Hazman Shoshim, this is 30 days. Nafsu b'soch hazman b'ziko, but let's say he fell within that period of time and caused damage, pater. But then la'akar hazman after 30 days, chayav meishushia osam because he waited too long. Lachchaf hamatznia esakotz. Let's say a person goes ahead and takes a thorns or there's a skukas or glass and puts it hides it into a wall area. Vagoded gidra b'kotzim. Let's say a person makes a fence and there's thorns sticking out of it. V'friach v'shus rabim, and either way the sharp ends stick into the public domain. V'huzak akar behem. And it hurts someone else, chayev nezek shalom, he's obligated to pay full nezek. Then gadar b'kotzim b'tzimtzum, let's say he makes what he called the thorn sticking into his property, the soch hashuso, pater, why the fish ain't there for adam, he's chayev b'tzimtzum, because a person, in order for a person to get hurt, he has to really push himself against that wall, and people don't normally do that. Lach chafalaf, hamatzniyah kotzav v'zuchosav, the soch kosel shalchavera, let's say a person lodges these thorns or glass shards into the wall of his neighbor, and the person who owns the wall comes along, the susser as koslo, and then breaks down his wall, the snuffle of Shravim, and it falls to the Shravim, the Hizika. Again, the guy who owns the wall, with now contains these glass shards of Hinapuman. It causes damage. So if the wall was in bad shape, then the person who put the glass shards in is on the hook for damages, being koslo barihu. But if it were a wall in good shape, the owner of the wall is obligated. So the great men, the pious men of the early days, they would bury thorns and pieces of glass in their fields at least 3 tefachim into the ground. So this way, when someone plows over them, they would not be lost at them. But others would burn them. And others would go ahead and dump them into the ocean. They shall use up and add them so that the person won't get damaged by it. The person should not clear stones from his own domain into the public domain. And a person shouldn't dig a hole underneath the public domain, below boroughs, the sheep, or other types of cisterns, etc. Even if that the ground separating the hole from the top is strong enough to support the carriage, and it's, let's say, for instance, this, a carriage that has stones in it. Because what can happen is it might open up below and he doesn't know about it. However, if a person is digging a system for public usage, then it is permitted. So a person shouldn't build parts of his house, let's say the Pesach, or sticking into the public domain, as long as it's high enough that a camel and the person riding on the camel can get underneath it. As long as it, what do you call it, it doesn't create shatters in the public domain where people can't see them in the wall. And if he wants to, he can bring the walls in to, like, bring the walls of his house further into his domain and build projections out from there. Let's say he did, he brought them in, but then project out. He can project out if he wants to, about any of the hops or song in the Kong of They never turn the walls back to the original place. Because once people have been granted, so to speak, reshus, once they're allowed to go ahead and pass through someone's domain, which by moving his walls back they're able to, then that's it. Once you give it up to the public, you can never reclaim it. That's a person purchases a chatzer, a courtyard, and in it there are pieces of the courtyard, the pesas, gavnis, etc., that go into the public domain. So then they can stay like they are. The nafla falls down, close the bonus of the shayser. You can actually rebuild it back to what it was. So let's say the leaves of a tree that's leading into a public domain. Code states you have to cut them off. So that if the leaves are low enough, in order for a camel with the writer to write underneath it. Manitha Makampana, Mishne Svasa Sanahar, and you leave an area next to the sides of the river, Karukha Kisve Hamalakam, to wide enough for people who are on the river to be able to pull their boat, Moshe Masmina, the Lena Mimsa Baruch of Zed, and any tree that's found in this area needs to be Kokotsu on the Yad, cut that immediately, even Masha and the Bailov, and you don't have to give any Hasra, any warning to the owner, Shari Mate, Moshe Masmina, because you're basically preventing the boat from them. Finally, Halakha of Zan, Mishai Shadarach HaRabim, let's say a person is, let's say there's a path, a public, a path for people to walk through, a Beresh Yisroch Sadeo, that many people can walk through hit, let's say, move and spiel. Nutla, the Nasan Lamin inside. Let's say he took it and made a new path to the side. Mash Nasan Nasan. So what he did was okay. Zachubo, Zeshanako, Lo. So what it called. So if he tried to take the path and prepare a new path, so what he gave to them, they're able to take possession of, so to speak, but he does not actually take possession of the land that he originally took. So what's considered a path for a large, people? People, lots of people walking along. It can't be less than 16 amos. And then it's Parak Gimel, and we will continue with Parak Gimel next time.